The amount of homeless students in Seattle public schools has doubled in the past 5 years. In some buildings, one out of every five students is homeless. And there's not a lot of assistance for schools struggling with this. Ann Dornfeld from KUOW's Race and Equity team has more.
Lowell Elementary School sits across from million-dollar houses on a quiet street in Capitol Hill. Inside this school are some of the poorest children in the city. 20% of Lowell students were homeless at last count. But even at this school, being without stable housing still carries a stigma among children.
The goal is not to let them know that you live in a shelter so they can't really judge you about it. When they ask you where you live, you say, I just don't want to talk about it.
Matthew Hicks is in fourth grade at Lowell. His sister Mariah is in second grade. Matthew and Mariah are Black. More than three-quarters of homeless families in King County are people of color. The school district wouldn't let me visit any classrooms at Lowell, but it was easy to find students like Matthew where he was living, at Mary's Place. Lowell is the assigned elementary school for all of the downtown homeless shelters. That means as shelters swell with families who've lost affordable housing, so does the population of homeless students at Lowell. Matthew's mom, Tiffany Hicks, says those kids come to school with a lot on their minds.
You go through the shelter life, and then you go to school with all that stuff inside. Why are we still here? Why do we still have to go through this communal eating? Why don't we have our own stuff? And they're bitter, and they're hurt, and they're angry.
Hicks says she saw how those feelings manifest at school when she got hired as a recess monitor at Lowell last spring.
It's just a big mess. It really is. And it's sad because the students are not getting what they need.
Parents and staff alike report children storming out of class to wander the halls. Brawls on the playground, the school bus, and in the cafeteria. Classrooms in a state of near anarchy. Matthew Hicks says he gets picked on a lot. And he doesn't always get the help he needs from adults.
They'll be like, you guys got to settle it. You're fourth grade now. You guys got to do it by yourself. Do it by ourselves. We're still little. I can't do that.
Tiffany Hicks says the school isn't even close to having the resources to handle students' tremendous needs. She says it was hard to watch as a school employee. She quit after a couple of months. Staff turnover is high at Lowell. By one count, 15 teachers and administrators have left since January. Nakisha Holmes is one of them. She was the assistant principal at Lowell, someone parents and staff told me was the heart of the school. She was also the only person of color in the school administration.
I like to say Lowell has everything worth fighting for. That's where the most important work and need was in education.
But Holmes says working there became a struggle. She says the amount of uncertainty in the lives of homeless students makes them feel powerless.
So when they arrive into the classroom, they bring all that angst with them. And for the most part, don't come in with those coping skills to get them to a place where they can access the learning.
Many kids who've been through that much trauma can be easily set off, Holmes says, and most teachers lack the training to prevent those eruptions and to de-escalate them. Instead, Holmes says, there was an endless stream of upset children in her office, and only one of her.
Teachers are asking, begging for more training on how to, you know, work with students on how to teach them coping strategies and self-regulation strategies. And that's a hard place for a teacher to be when you can recognize what the kids need, but you don't have the skills to give them that.
Like all high-poverty schools, Lowell qualifies for extra funding. But it gets little special attention or resources to reflect its incredibly high homeless population. Last year, there was just one half-time counselor for the whole school. There's a social worker, but no school psychologist. A behavioral intervention specialist was hired last year, and parents and staff praise his work. But he says his job was phased out without explanation. Many parents, students, and staff members complained that the district should have hired a principal for the school who was skilled in working with such a vulnerable population. The Lowell principal declined multiple requests for an interview, and a district spokeswoman refused to respond to the numerous allegations about the school and issued this statement by email. The district can't discuss personal student information or incidents. We have a commitment to creating the best educational experience for all students. Seattle Public Schools Deputy Superintendent Stephen Nielsen did say that he was not aware of the staff exodus at Lowell. He says the district does what it can to serve homeless students, but money is tight.
The headline is obviously we don't have enough money to serve the needs of the kids. We don't have enough money to serve their transportation needs. We don't have enough money from the state. We certainly don't have enough money from the feds. And we want to do a very good job in serving these students because we want them to get an education.
Nielsen says the district does train staff to work with students on social and emotional issues. And it has a team of staff dedicated to meeting the federal law that mandates equal access for homeless students.
We have 8 people who work across the district to go in and help the homeless students in all kinds of needs that they may have and to integrate them into a meaningful academic experience where they can improve their student achievement.
Teachers and parents at Lowell say they haven't seen much evidence of that work. Louisiana State University's Carrie Tobin studies the effects of homelessness on school children. Tobin says it's critical for schools to do whatever they can to help homeless students.
The problem is, in the United States, we don't have a lot of other social supports. We don't have social policy that would take care of students' needs, and schools have really become one-stop service centers.
Tobin says while budgets are typically tight, there are inexpensive steps schools can take. The biggest is training staff and how to work with students experiencing trauma and how young brains work if they've been through intensely painful and scary experiences.
I mean, a lot of our students could probably be qualified as having something akin to PTSD.
Schools can also incorporate homelessness into curricula to help kids develop empathy and cut down on bullying. For Nakisha Holmes, the former assistant principal at Lowell, the district's budget is not the limiting factor. She grew up poor and Black in Seattle, and she says what's happening at Lowell is symptomatic of the racism and classism in this well-off, mostly white city. Holmes says the district does not go nearly far enough in making sure that the schools that need the most help get what they need, like one where 1/5 of students have no permanent address. She says if that comes at the expense of affluent schools, that has to be okay.
It's time to have some real conversations with everybody that's impacted and come up with a clear action plan and be willing to piss some people off, hurt some feelings. I mean, everybody's not going to be happy in this scenario.
I'm Ann Dornfeld, KUOW News.